Paul told Timothy, he says, Timothy, be thou an example. Be thou an example. In 1 Timothy 4 and 12, he says, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, be good as your word. In conversation, be sure your conversation is a good example. In charity or love in action. In spirit. And that means, as we said, God, you know, some of us, we need to always have this spirit about us that we're exuberant, we're enthusiastic. You know, we're not just kind of ho-hum, you know, yeah, doing, and whatever. But we have this spirit about us that we want to share the good news about Jesus Christ. We want that kind of spirit within us. Of course, there's other things too, but we want to have the spirit of a Christian, of a person that's truly following God. Instead of having that, be an example in faith and in purity. And Paul says, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. And think about what he said. He says, Timothy, till I see you, give attendance to certain things. To reading, to education, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with laying on the hands of the presbytery. Now what he's talking about, Timothy could do miracles. And Paul could pass it down, but Timothy couldn't pass it down. So Paul had the ability to do miracles and also pass it down, and Timothy had that. The also, that's what he's talking about there. And he goes on to say, look at verse 15. He says, meditate upon these things. Now, I don't know about you, but meditation, to me, is one of the most important things about a Christian life. You probably, maybe like me, you get lost in your own world sometimes, especially when you're by yourself. But meditate on things. Think about it. Meditate upon these things, he said. He goes on to say, give thyself, look at the word he uses now, W-H-O-L-L-Y, which means completely to them. And we're going to talk tonight about the power of influence. Now, do you really think you're going to influence somebody in the right way if you don't give yourself completely to God? You know, you see where you want, don't you? You see, in other words, you see, no, in other where you would drive them away from it. If you're not giving yourself completely to God or holy to God. And he goes on to say, if you do that, see, that thy prophecy may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, thou shalt, look at this one, both save thyself and them that hear thee. Now, you think about what a wonderful thought that is, that if you give attendance to reading, to education, to doctrine, to what it's saying, and you give yourself completely to it, he says, continue in these things, for in so doing, you should not only be saved yourself, Timothy, but you shall save people or help to save people that hear what you've got to say. Now, Paul, I know, had a great influence on his life. And you can only imagine how much Timothy loved him because of Paul's influence on his life. And how much, of course, that Paul loved Timothy. Now, look again in 2 Timothy 1. And this time, verse 13. He tells him here, he says, hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me. Now, think about that. Paul says, Timothy, you've heard things from me. And they are sound words. He says, Timothy, you hold these fast in faith, and love which is in Christ Jesus. Now look at 2 Timothy 3, this time verse 14. He says to Timothy again, but continue thou in the faith which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned. And now Paul is talking about himself here. He says, Timothy, you've learned it from me. And I'm getting to a point of what Paul's influence was. And what he's saying to Timothy, he says, Timothy, you've learned these things. I've taught them to you. You've learned them. And he also talks here about his mother and grandmother. We're going to read that too. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Now, friends, there's one thing for sure we want is salvation. And we want to be wise. And we talked about this week about making decisions, and a wise decision. And so Paul says, remember when you've learned these things. Because this scripture can make you wise, those things you've learned, until salvation. He goes on to say, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect or be complete, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And so we see here, Paul writes to Timothy, the importance he places on what Timothy can be, and Timothy's example can be. And friends, I hope tonight for you to see how important your life is. And how important the good example that you can be with your life to not only save yourself, but those that hear you. Now let's look again at 2 Timothy this time, verse 1. I'm sorry, 2 Timothy chapter 1. And he talks again about Timothy. He says, when I call to remember the unfeigned, which means sincere, faith that is in thee. Now he goes on to say, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois, and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that is in thee also. Now that's the dearest thought too. He says, Timothy, somebody passed it down. And it was your grandmother, it was your mother, and now he says, I'm persuaded, it's also in you. And can you think, in all the things you can do in life for your children, is there a greater gift that you could give your child than God? Is there a greater gift you could give anybody than God? It's not, is there? And so what we see here is the importance that Paul is placing on somebody. Timothy gave it to you. They passed it down. And Timothy, now you've got to be an example. And you know, he was pretty point blank with that. You know, he didn't say, please, of course I'm sure he would have. But he says, be thou an example. This is something else. Look at this time at Philippians, the fourth chapter, in verse 9. Philippians 4 and 9. Now, coming up tonight, Sue and I discussed this, and I want you to see what you think about what he's saying here. And what I'm going to tell you what he says before we read it, and then but anyway, Paul is saying here, as he writes to the church at Philippi, he says, as I have lived, you live, and you'll be okay. Now that's saying a lot, isn't it? Isn't it? Okay. Let me say, think of somebody that you dearly love. More than you love your life. Would you tell them to live just like you have lived and just like you are living? Or would you tell them that you want them to live better than you've lived? What would you say? Now here's somebody, now think about somebody that you love more than life itself. And you want them for absolute positive to be saved. Would you say to them, point blank say to us, as you live like I've lived, and you serve God like I serve God, and you give attendance to what I've given attendance to in my life, and you are going to be saved. And that's what Paul says here, Philippians 4:9. I want you to notice carefully. He says to the church of Philippi, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. See things, we see things in people. And we hear things from people. And we learn from people. Your children learn from you. You know, I remember reading recently, you may have seen the story in Dear Abby, where this woman writes in what she did and back during the Christmas rush. And she was driving in traffic, heavy traffic. And this woman was trying to get into the line of traffic from a side street. And she said she had just several children in the car. This woman was trying to get in this line of traffic. And she said she wrote this off because she said she didn't mean to let her in the traffic, but she was stopped. So the woman just pushed her way in there, so to speak, you know. The woman had all the children. And said she looked at me and she waved, thank you, you know. And said, I give her an obscene gesture. And there in the car with me is my grown daughter. See, it made her mad, see, what the woman did. But the woman thought she was letting her in. That's why she waved thank you to her. And when she went to the end, she said, I don't know who she was, and I can't apologize to her. She said, I'm so, so sorry for what I did. She said, I apologize over and over to my daughter. She said, I want that woman to know that I didn't mean that, what I did. I think that sometimes when we have these little anger spells, you know, and we hold them inside, all of a sudden it comes out. And if you think about that story, she didn't apologize to that child all her life and she won't ever forget it. I don't know if I'll even forget it. I don't know, I have no idea who the woman was. Now Paul said about his life, he says, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Timothy, we just read about that, we just talked about that. He said, those things you've learned of me, you know where you've learned them from, Timothy. He said, keep that committed to your trust. Be thou an example. Well, of the stories in the Bible about examples, there are. It says about examples. And let's go back at this time to the book of Judges, the 11th chapter. And this is one of the saddest stories in the Bible, but it's also a story about powerful examples. Now, the man's name, and really what makes it so sad is what he vowed. But the man's name was Jephthah. And he was a son of a harlot. And so his half-brothers drove him out because he said, this is Judges 11:2. He said, for you the son of a strange woman. So Jephthah fled the country and grew up in the land of Palm. Now, at this time began that Jephthah was a mighty man of valor. But he left the country. They drove him out. His half-brothers drove him out. But it came to pass, I'm just going to try to skip along here through Judges 11, that the children of Ammon made war against Israel, and so they wanted to get Jephthah back because he was such a strong military leader. And so they went to him, and he says, well, did you hate me and expel me? He says, why are you coming to any night when you're in distress? Verse 7. And they said, well, we want you to lead us against the children of Ammon in verse 9. And so they said, he said, well, if I lose, will you make me your head? And they said, yes, we'll do that. And so he agreed to come back and lead them in the battle. So you see the picture right here of Jephthah. Now you go on in chapter 11, And look at verse 30. And now why he did this is unbeknownst to me, but it says, and Jephthah vowed a vow unto the Lord and said, talking to God now, if thou shalt without fail deliver the children of Ammon into mine hands, he says, God, I'm going to tell you something. If you let me be victorious in this battle, then it shall be that whosoever, that whatsoever cometh forth of the doors of my house to meet me when I return in peace from the children of Ammon shall surely be the Lord's. And I will offer it up for a burnt offering. And you know what he just said? He said, if we win and I get back, who comes out that door first? It's going to be an offering to you. He said, whatever. I guess it could have been something else. It could have been an animal, I guess. But it said that whatsoever cometh forth. He didn't say whosoever, whatsoever cometh forth. So anyway, he promised that to God. And you know who came out first to meet him when he came back? His only daughter. And you know what he says to her? He says, alas, my daughter, it's verse 35. Thou hast brought me very low, and thou art one of them that trouble me. For I have opened my mouth unto the Lord, and I cannot go back. And she said unto him, listen to what she said to him. Now, what if you told your child that? What if you told your child, okay, I promise God that the first one coming out to meet me is going to be offered a sacrifice. That means death. What would your child say? Would your child really feel that strong about you keeping your vow to God to give their life? And the thing is, love is awful deep. I was told one time about this little boy, his true story, and his sister. And his sister had some type of disorder. I forgot what it was. I don't know if he even said what it was, but she had some type of disorder. Some kind of. And what they meet, they find out that his blood, the little boy's blood, he was about, I think, 5 years old, but they could give her transfusion, but his blood would, they felt like it would cure her, and it didn't cure her. And so they asked the little boy, would he be willing to give his sister some blood? His blood. And the little boy hesitated a little bit. He says, yes, I will. And so that's what they did. It was taking, you know, giving her some of his blood. And the little boy was lying there as he was taking his blood. He says, when will I begin to die? And they said, oh, no, you're not going to die. He thought he was going to have to give her all his blood. But his love was so great for his sister, he was willing to do it. Now, love like that just don't happen, friends. And love like this girl right here, what she's going to say, when her daddy told her what I vowed to God, listen to what she said. It don't just happen. It doesn't just happen to us. He says, my father, if thou hast opened thy mouth unto the Lord, do to me according to that which thou hast proceeded out of thy mouth. So whatever it is, you told God, and you be sure you do it. You're talking about influence. You're talking about somebody taught her somewhere in her life. She just all of a sudden come out of the blue and come up with something like that, did she? She had been taught somewhere in her life that if you vow to God, like the Bible says in Ecclesiastes 5, when thou vowest to vow unto God, defer not to pay it. Better is not thou shouldest not vow than thou shouldest vow and not pay. And friends, there's many vows that you might make in life. You know, you might have made a vow when you married. You know that? Remember that? You know what you said? For better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, what else? In sickness and in health, what else you say? Till divorce do us part. Is that what you said? Tell me what you said, was it? What did you say? Till death do us part. And see, what you married, you are one. You're no longer two. You're one flesh. And no thing can separate you in God's sight as one of you to be dead. See, friends, she took this vow seriously. That's right. And you should take vows that you make seriously. Because it is so serious what you vow. Like we talked a lot about how we make vows and, you know, they just kind of come and go. What Esau did, well, he gave it up. He gave up his birthright. Or most of the meat, the Bible says. And he had no place for repentance and no thoughts out of careful with tears, Hebrews says. He finds the things he promised in life. They are lifetime commitments. There is no going back. There is no saying, well, you know, wait, now, I don't know what I was thinking about when I said that. You can't do that. Now, if Jephthah could have, I'm sure he would have, and says, you know, wait a minute now. Sure, but I didn't mean that. And you know what happened there? You read the rest of the story? That's right. They took her life. He sure did. She asked him, could I go for 2 months and be alone with my friends and bewail my virginity? She was a virgin. I and my fellows, he says, go. She came back after those 2 months. He did with her according to his vow, which he vowed. And I get that he killed herself. He already had it done. Here's something else. Talk about Abraham. Now we know that Abraham and God talked about what a man he was and that he knows that he will, you know, raise his children up, this sort of thing. That's a wonderful thought, isn't it? But in the book of Genesis chapter 21, Sarah conceived, and it says in verse 5, when Abraham was 100 years old, when Isaac was born. A long time, see, even though God had promised him, he didn't have a son by faith. But then Isaac was born. Now we're going over to chapter 22, and we see here where God tested Abraham. And he said to him, he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, this is verse 2 of chapter 22, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. The word is Moriah, I couldn't say it. But anyway, he says, go over there and offer him for an offering. Take his life. So he goes over there, and Abraham, and look at verse 7. And Isaac spake unto Abraham, his father, and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold, we find the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to a place into verse 9, which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine what Isaac was thinking? It doesn't say what he asks Abraham. It doesn't say anything he says to him. And I feel like, that Isaac understood that this was God's will. It was not something his father was willing to do. But it was God's will some way. Now, of course, I know the Bible later on says that if he took his life, Abraham felt like he'd bring that back because he pursued him kind of from the dead anyway because he was too old to have children. But he bound that bear to this wood. And the Bible goes on to say, and Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. He said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, from me. He said the test, didn't he? But think about the boy, too. That's what I want to see tonight. The faith of that boy. The faith of Isaac. And then somebody taught him. Who taught him? Who would you think taught him? He thinks we're talking about passing it on. We're talking about having this influence, the power of influence. It's so effective. Let's look now at the book of Ruth. Now the book of Ruth is about a woman, her husband, and her two sons. And they were having famine in the land where they were living, and so they went to another land, and in the country of Moab, and there they lived. And so, Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she left her and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab, and the name of one, these two boys did, the name of one, and it tells the names there in verse 5, Mahlon and Chilion, and these boys, they married these women of the Moab, and so then these boys died. And so this woman, Naomi, the boys were dead, both her sons were dead, her husband was dead. And so she had no actual blood kin living there in the country of Moab. And so she was going to go back home because she had heard the Bible says that back where they come from, that things were going better, that the famine was over, giving him bread, verse 6. Business had given bread. And so she called her daughter-in-laws in, Orphae and Ruth. And so she said to them, go return to your mother's house. The Lord be kindly with you as you have dealt with the bed and with me, as you dealt with your husband, which was my boy. And I should never know about her husband also. He was dead. And said, the Lord grant you that you may find rest, each of you in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them and lifted up their voice and wept. So the two girls they wept because they was, their mother-in-law was telling them to go back to their people. So. And Naomi said in verse 11, turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? So she said, turn again, go your way. I'm too old to have a husband. And she goes on to say, look at verse 14. And they lifted up their voice and wept again, and Orphae kissed her mother-in-law and left her, but Ruth prayed unto her. So you get the story now. I may have gone too fast here. But here this woman, Naomi, with this strange land, her husband and two boys. These two boys got married over there. So now, her husband's dead, the two boys are dead, her sons are dead. So she tells her daughter-in-law, I'm going back to my homeland. You go back to your people. And Orphae did. But Ruth wouldn't do it, and you may have heard the song. And she said, behold, our sister-in-law has gone back, Naomi said, unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after our sister-in-law. And Ruth said, verse 16, entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For where thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Now that's something to have that much influence over your daughter-in-law, because you know now by this story, it wasn't like Timothy says. It wasn't like Isaac, and it probably wasn't like Jephthah's daughter, because we feel like they were kind of raised from their youth. Okay? But here's a story now of influence or the someone that's an adult when you meet him. We would think she was an adult anyway. She's part of the family. Now what kind of influence have you got on your family? Have you got that much influence? Then it can be done. You say, well, the preacher's not easy, but it can be done. What did Paul say to Timothy? Be thou an example of the believers. Timothy, be an example in your life. Because your influence can be so strong. What you do in your life can affect other people. In Luke 16, Verse 19. Luke 16 and 19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. Who's he describing here? He's describing me and you. Look at what we wear. We may not have on fine linen. You probably got plenty of extra clothes in your closet at home, don't you? Plenty of things. Plenty of food in the pantry. And we fast sumptuously every day. And when we compare ourselves to our neighbor, we may not be rich, but compare ourselves to the world, we're rich. We got half the world's money. 70% of the world's cars. Friends, we are wealthy in America. Here's a man that's rich. He's fine sumptuously every day. He's clothed in fine linen. Purple and fine linen. And there's a certain beggar named Lazarus, which laid in his gate full of sores, and designed to be fed with the crust itself in the rich man's table. Then the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died, Lazarus died, and was carried by the angels in Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell, he looked up his eyes being in torment. The things I believe that when you die, and when I die, I'm going to go to a place that's called Hades. So we're just going to kind of draw a sketch up here. And this is Hades. Got two parts. Got torment. Remember what Jesus told the thief on the cross? He's going to bring them where? Paradise. Okay, let's read over the story. Just picture this here. This is Hades. It's got two parts. And so a rich man is there. And the baby's died. And the rich man died. In verse 23. And in hell he looked up his eyes being in torment. And see if Abraham was far off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus, that he may get the gift of this thing in water, and cool my throat by coming in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember. You ever think about that? That if you go here, you can be able to remember. Remember. That thou in thy lifetime receivest all good things that he has, purple and fine linen, he fares sumptuously every day. And likewise, Lazarus' evil things that thou hast suffered and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf. Fit, for the thing which could pass from hence to you cannot, nor can it pass to us, it would come from them. And then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldst send into my father's house, for I have five brethren. How many kids you got? How many grandkids you got? How many kids around the neighborhood that you got influence over? How many children at church you got influence over? How many people at church you got influence over? You know what, friend, it's so sad. Somebody won't even go to church. I'm serious. Now, I'll never forget, I don't believe, me and Billy spoke at Brother Perry's daddy that time, his funeral here. Look over him. That's what Billy said about it. He's always here. Your daddy's here. Billy said that he's here. You may remember. And that really impressed me, because Billy talked about what an influence of Brother Sheldon had been on him. You know, I'm trying to say, we may not know it. We might not think a thing about it. Somebody's watching us like Billy's watching him. So. I don't know if he ever told Brother Sheldon. Maybe, may not. But now here's this rich man in torment. He says, I got five brethren. They're still living, Abraham. Listen to what he said. He says, that it seems I fall to have five brethren, but he may testify unto them that they also come into this place of torment, that they also come here too. See, friends, the importance of your life, and you got to do it while you got life, because when it's going to come a day, you are going to have one specific influence as far as what you can do to change yourself. That's right. You can't go back and live your life over when you're dead. And like Billy said the other night, your decisions are going to outlive you. And they are. He made a decision in his life to be selfless in the service that he wanted, which was whatever, money or greed or whatever it might be. And Abraham said to him, there was Moses and the prophets left him here then. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one of them from the dead, they will repent. Do you think that really happened? Do you think if we could raise somebody, if God could raise somebody from the dead tonight, and bring them back here, and speak in this pulpit, do you think it would change us? Abraham said it wouldn't matter. If they don't hear Moses talk, because it's old law, they wouldn't hear anybody if they went to him from the dead. The first one I'm saying this for is that we have got to be strong. That's right. All the time. It seems that out of kingdom, whatever it is, your children are watching you. If you don't have children, your grandchildren are watching you. Those in church are watching you. You may not think they are, but they are watching you. And it's powerful what you can do with just your life. You can't change yesterday, but you can sure change what you are now. And that's the beautiful part of the Christian life. Because that speaks volumes many times. And people see you change. And people see you get where you follow the Lord, where you're steadfast, where you're unmovable. They may never say a thing to you, but they take note of that. And you can affect their life. And if you can just save one person. What did he say to Timothy? Give thyself up to them, wholly, completely to them. For in doing this, I shall both save thyself and them that hear thee. Friends, we are the hope of the world today. We mean the church. And our children are the hope of tomorrow. That's right. Let me tell you something else. I'm fixing to close. In Hebrews 11 and 4, it says, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it, being dead, yet speaketh. You know, sister told me one time, I came over in Ephesians 6, which says, honor thy father and mother, and I made the statement. She said, honor your parents as long as they live. And when the church was over, sister told me, she said, Brother Bass, you ought to honor your parents as long as you live. She said, you can bring shame on your parents even after they are dead. Never thought of that. Never thought of that. Let me be sad to think about you being dead. Something you did, something you said, was still influencing people to sin. Wouldn't it? He said he's dead, but he's still speaking. His righteous deeds still speak what he did. You know, I think back over my life. I think of so many people that's been a part of my life. And from time to time, it comes to mind something that somebody said or did, or a life they lived. It still affects me today. I still think about it. He's the same way I would think. Their lives. And what you want to do, what we want to do tonight, brethren, is see the importance of a good example. That's right. Be good as your word. Be good as your word. In your conversation, in your charity, in your spirit, in your faith. That's what Paul was talking to Timothy about. He said, Timothy, be thou an example. It came, he said, your mother, your grandmother, your mother. I've often wondered about it. Don't mention his granddaddy, his daddy. I've wondered about that. You wondered about that? What kind of influence did they, what about them? I don't know. Can't say I thought about it. But he said it came down. And Timothy said, I believe it's in you too. Isn't it wonderful to see a young child, or grown up far as that goes, that that spirit is in them. And they're dedicated. That's right. And there's nothing going to stop them. Like we talked about the other night, about what Hebrews 12 and 2 says, 12 and 1 says, run with patience. That's what Paul is talking, that's what the writer of Hebrews is talking about there. Lay aside every weight and sin, just let it so easy to fix you. And run with patience, the race that is before you. And that patience means that you never quit, you never give up. You never back away. You never come to the side. That's what he's talking about. That's what that word patience means. I tell you, that he uses. And brethren, we can be that way. And I want to encourage you to be that way. Whatever comes in life, always be faithful. And my mama used to say, it's never wrong to be right. It's never wrong to do right. That's so true. Do the right thing. What did Jesus do? May God help us to realize the importance of our life. And living the Christian life. And in so doing, to save ourselves and those that may hear us or see us all around us. Tonight, as we stand and sing an invitational song, I wonder if we may be one of them here tonight is not members of the Lord's Church. Tonight is the time that you can come to be baptized, to be born again, believing on Jesus Christ. Believe that He is God's Son. And saying those words that I believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son. You might say, well, you know, preacher, that's the easiest thing to do. It is. And it is. To believe on Him. Confess that publicly. Repent of your sins. You can be baptized tonight for forgiveness of all your past sins. If you are a member. If you look at your life, you say, well, you know, preacher, it hadn't been what it should be. And I want to come back tonight and confess my faults. I just want to come back tonight. I want to come tonight and just ask for prayer that I might be strong and for the rest of my days. And I might be the kind of light, and I might be the kind of inspiration, I might be the kind of influence that I can help to lead people to you. Do that tonight. Why don't you do that as we stand and as we sing?
To my yet a worthy thought, and close our eyes against the light. Lord, save your heart, not your heart, be saved on tonight. Oh, my love tonight, not my love tonight. Oh, my love tonight. Let us all be saved.
once again, appreciate the chance to learn from this week. Appreciate Brother Wilmer and the messages that he brought us this week. And a lot of good instruction. And Brother Stephen, I want to know if your brother's hanging in now. Multiple this morning.
Okay, I'd like to invite everyone to meet with us next week. They'll start Sunday through Friday night, meeting in Mount Thomas. They have 10:30 and 6 o'clock on Sunday and 7 o'clock Sunday through Friday. I'd like to announce the meeting of Exodus beginning on the third Sunday. The meeting will begin at 7 o'clock and early lunch at the community center. Meeting will begin this evening at 8 o'clock. Perhaps a little reminder because I give everyone a break. No one's here at home.
Most gracious and all wise Heavenly Father, so thankful that we've had this opportunity tonight to come and assemble together in this place. Sing songs of praise, hear forth of your word proclaim, to offer us our thanks and our praise for prayer, to be edified and uplifted by being together, by hearing your word taught so well. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you would be with Brother Wilmer as he endeavors to spread your message and do your bidding, that you would bless him and his efforts to protect him as he travels from place to place from time to time. We pray, Heavenly Father, that each of us would examine ourselves, that we would meditate on your word and on the lessons that have been taught this week, that we would apply this to our lives as need be so that we can be stronger, faithful Christians that you would have us to be. We ask now that as we separate this place, that you guide, guard, and protect us. Forgive us of our wrongs. In the end, if we've been found faithful, thanks to the home of heaven with you. We pray for the sake of the Son. Amen.
You got some good mixes on that.
Yeah.